Okay, guys, here we are. It's the annual Christmas event. Makes me have memories about when I was a kid. You know, Christmas is a big deal because we were poor. So Mom and I came from poor families, so we're living in a little, I don't know what it was, a little block house, square block house with a flat roof. You could play ball on top of it. Paying about $55 a month rent, but holidays were a big deal. So every holiday, you know, we decorate the house. We had one of those artificial aluminum trees that would glow in the dark, and you had a little whirly thing that would turn red and green and blue and yellow. It's like, you just stare like, whoa, man, it's Christmas time here in the house. And then Mom was always baking. We always had stuff. She was always making the homemade fudge, made the homemade fruit cake, made the German chocolate cake. We're popping popcorn to decorate the tree. We're mostly concerned about what we're going to get for Christmas. But we went to church. Went to church all the time. Didn't read my Bible, but I went to church. Church is a big deal. So we go in the bedroom. So in the bedroom, I had a built-in wall closet thing and toy chest and shelves around in this little nook in the bedroom. So I remember I'd always take my Bible. I'd find my Bible, and I'd open up to Luke 1, and I'd prop it up, and I'd grab a flashlight. So I had a flashlight, one of my dad's flashlights, and some blue cellophane, clear, semi-clear. And so I'd turn that flashlight on, and I'd point that blue light at my Bible. And we'd go outside. We had white pine trees all in the yard. So we'd grab white pine, lay that white pine around that Bible, put that blue light on it, and we'd play Christmas music. We'd just lay in bed and look at it like, it's Christmas time. You can smell the food. You see the blue light on the Bible. It is a great time, and Santa Claus is coming. You thought, this is going to be great. It wasn't until you got older you started reading the book, you know. It's like, I mean, we believed in Jesus. I walked the aisle. I got born again. I just didn't know, well, it's Christmas time. It's when he was born. But you never really got the whole picture, you know, why he came and what he's doing here. And so, you know, I like to do it at least. I mean, you got to know it every day of the year, but once you got to at least go through the story, just get the facts in case it leaks out. So, you know, you go back to Adam and Eve, that's where Christmas started. Everything just went south. Adam and Eve living in paradise. Everything's great. Food's free, clothes are cheap, neighbors are wonderful. It's great. But then they sinned, and sin's got death attached to it. We just think sin's doing something bad. No, it's bad. It's got death attached to it. So Adam and Eve sin. The devil shows up. They get fired from their job, evicted from the house. Kids start killing each other. And so that's in Genesis. Well, it starts going downhill from there. But if you read Genesis, God knew Adam and Eve were going to sin. He knew it. He said, they're going to go stupid on me. I know they are. But he already had a plan. The plan was to send his son to earth. But he said, why did he need to do that? Well, because God doesn't cheat. God gave the planet to a human. A human lost it. A human's got to get it back. God can't show up like Superman and take the planet back away from the devil. Hey, I'm so sorry, Adam, here. I took it back like a good mom or daddy would. I'm going to give it back to you. He can't. A man lost it, a man's got to get it back. So God's got to come to earth as a man. Why? He can't come as God. God didn't lose, and a man lost. So we're going to have to come to earth. So I used to kind of jokingly tell kids, you know, in the high school, I said, well, you can imagine God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost sitting there watching this mess, and God knew it was going to happen, and God turns to his son and said, well, son, I told you they were going to go stupid on me. I knew it. There he is, been fired from his job, evicted from his house, kids killing each other. Going to end up going to hell. We're going to have to do something. I'm going to have to send you down there to fix it. I don't have anybody else. The thing is, you can't go like you. God didn't lose and a man lost, so I'm going to have to send you down as a human. Now, I'm going to have to do some tricky stuff to do that. Number one, I got to find a man on that planet that will give me his son because I got to have a covenant. I can't just show up. I gave the planet to Adam. Adam gave it away. So if Adam gave me, I got to have, that's why the Bible talks about the first and the second Adam. So I got to find me a man down there I can deal with who will give me his son. So that's where we have the story of Abraham, you know, a man that's old, couldn't have any kids. This story's repeated so many times, we're going to hear it right here in Luke. Got this old guy, can't have any kids. He's old, he's past childbearing age, his wife, and all of a sudden an angel shows up and says, hey, how you doing? So let me tell you what God says about you. God's going to make your family like the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. You're going to have so many kids you can't count them. And so the Bible says Abraham believed him. Well, now Sarah's listening in the tent. You know, she was still Sarai. She wasn't Sarah yet. And the Bible says she laughed. And she said, can I have a baby since I'm old? And the angel said, you laughed. She said, no, I didn't. Now she lied. No, I heard you laugh. Said, you're going to have a baby. Of course, she did, you know. And so all of a sudden we got the thing now. This child grows up. Isaac's about 17. God speaks to Abraham again because he's working something. God doesn't cheat. He's got to work through humans. I need you to take your son up to the mountain and offer a sacrifice. Now, he did this all the time. This was not unusual. So this time, he said, son, come on, we're going to the mountain, do the sacrifice to God. So they grab the sticks and the stuff, and they load the donkey, they walk up the mountain, and they put the rocks up, they build the fire, they get ready, and all of a sudden, Isaac realized, hey, Dad, We forgot the sacrifice. No, we didn't, son. Here, lay down here in a minute. Let me tie you up. I want to tell you a story. So he lays him down on the altar. And I'm not making it up. It's in there. Tyler, let me tell you a story. He said, you're the sacrifice. I'm giving you to God. Now, I don't know what Isaac thought. They don't record it. But he thought, you're doing what? Yep. And his dad's raising that knife over him. I'm going to sacrifice. And when the knife went up, God and angels stopped him. He said, stop. I just saw your heart, Abraham. In your heart, you just gave me your son. So he had a ram caught in the thicket. I've got a substitute ram over there. Put that on the altar as a substitute, because in your heart, you just gave me your son. So now through your family, we now have a covenant, because you gave me your son. Through your family, I can give my son. So that's why you read Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. It's the family line of both Mary and Joseph. God was born legally. He came through the family of Abraham. Seed. So that's why God never cheats. Jesus was born here legally. So you come down here, what's going on? Well, the devil's tore everything up. When Jesus was born, there'd been 400 years of silence. No prophecies, no prophets, no preaching, no teaching. It was the absolute darkest period of history on this planet. Man, everything was a mess. Man, the Romans had invaded Israel. People were killed. Men were nailed to cross. It was bad. Now, some people were praying, and we'll see that here in just a second, looking for a deliverer, looking for a savior. We need a savior. We need something to happen. Well, here's where the story begins. Now, God is redeemed. God can't do anything if somebody asks him. So people have been praying. So this is in the book of Luke. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I really like this. This is chapter 1. I'm going to jump in here right at verse 4. And verse 5 says this. When Herod was king of Judea, bad guy, there was a Jew, a priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. God doesn't cheat. God comes down through the lines he said. God doesn't cheat. He doesn't make stuff up. So Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commands and regulations, but they had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were now both very old. Stories popped up before with Abraham. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple. For his order, he had a duty to serve for 1 week. He was to enter the sanctuary of the Lord, burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying, because if he messed up or he goes there with sin in his life, he drops dead. So when the priest went in to burn the incense, they tied a rope around his ankle, because if he goes there with sin in his life, he'll drop dead. They have to pull him out, because you can't go in because you're not a priest. So that was good. Well, before I go, untie the rope, just in case I've gone stupid and I don't know it. You ought to think about that. They don't put that in the Easter movie. So while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing in the right hand of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid." I don't know if you noticed, but almost every time an angel shows up, first words out of his mouth is, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." God's good. "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." What prayer? Been praying for his wife to get pregnant. Well, you know, you just pray for so long. How long did you pray? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I don't think it's happening. No, God hears every prayer. Now watch this. "God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John." Kind of like that name, don't you? You have to name him John. "You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many of the Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with a great spirit and the power of Elijah, so that he will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. He will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "Well, now, how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now. My wife is well along in years." So an angel shows up, tells him, "I don't know if I believe that or not." That's what he's saying. Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and able to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Now, God wouldn't punish him. God's going to make him not negate this. Life and death and the power of the tongue. "I've just told you your wife's going to get pregnant. Keep your mouth shut. I'm about to do a miracle. Keep your mouth shut." So he said, "Just in case, I'll shut it for you." So, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zacharias to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. Oh my goodness, he's dropped dead on us. We forgot to tie the rope, and he's dropped dead on us. What's he doing in there? Said, when he finally did come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have had a vision in the sanctuary. When Zacharias' week of service was over in the temple, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and she went into seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace from having no children. Well, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, it's been 6 months since the angel visited, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. He's a busy guy. He's coming back. Goes to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Again, God promised Abraham, I will come through your family line. David came through the family line of Abraham. God does not lie. God does not cheat. He says, I will watch over my word. God does exactly what he says he's going to do. He just wants people to believe him. So Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen since I am a virgin? The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy. He'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has also become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now sick in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you say about me come true. And then the angel left her. Well, she didn't say what Zechariah said. The King James says, be it unto me according to your word. Now, people always look, and we've talked our kids forever, you guys, like, why virgin birth? Well, the sin nature comes down through the man. Came down through Adam. Always comes through the human seed. Where's sin nature come? Man, come on down. So what's that? You're going to have a virgin birth. Why? You're not going to have a man of sin coming into your life. You're going to conceive. It's going to be a virgin birth. God Almighty is going to be the male in your life. He's going to plant the seed of his son inside of you. And people overlook that. We just read, well, virgin birth, virgin. No, it was critical. It had to be. Because Jesus had no sin nature. He could have sinned, but he had no sin nature. He didn't. He was just like Adam when Adam, before he sinned. A few days later, Mary returned to the hill country in Judea, the town where Zechariah lived, and she went to the house to greet Elizabeth. The sound of Mary's greeting, the child in Elizabeth's womb leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Just Mary walking in like, both babies jump, like, hey, cousin, like they know what's going on. They don't put that in the movie either, but it's really good. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women. Your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that I'm the mother of my Lord that should visit me? And then when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Man, that was a hard kick. No, that kid jumped for joy. He sensed, who's over? My cousin, the son of God's in that other womb over there. And the kid leaped, man. They ought to put that in the movie. Said, you are blessed because you believed the Lord would do what he said. You are blessed because you believed the Lord would do what he said. You're blessed. Why? You believed what God said. That's why we have the scripture. Now, like this, when it came time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. When her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, his name is John. And said, what else? Said, what? They exclaimed, there is no one in your family by that name at all. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father, what are you saying? They knew he hadn't been able to talk for 9 months. They figured something had hit him, you know. So they asked the father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet. To everyone's surprise, he wrote, his name is John. When he wrote it, instantly he could speak. God said, you're not messing this up. This thing's a done deal. It's a done deal. Now you can gum flap all you want. I read it like that. And awe fell on the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, what will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. When God gets ready to do something, he picks people and he works with them. Now we get to the actual real Christmas story that was under my flashlight in my bedroom. This is the real story. And now it starts to make a little more sense. Like, what? Well, a lot of things had to happen. Adam sinned, death came on the planet, Satan took over, he became the god of this planet, the devil kills, steals, and destroys, we got crime rates, hospitals are full, prisons are full, orchards are full. People say, where's God at? Well, God's in heaven. Why did he let this happen? God didn't let it happen. He's not in charge. He gave it to a man. A man gave it away to the devil. The devil is a temporary, 2 Corinthians 4:4, god of this planet. Now his lease is running out. Thing is, when you and I get born again, we're coming out from under his authority. I don't belong to his kingdom anymore. I belong to God's kingdom. I got a shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. I'm now in the kingdom of God's dear son. I'm still on the alien planet, but I'm not hiding from the devil. He's hiding from me. We're looking to bless people, set people free. We're helping orphans and widows and feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, visit people in prison. We are here fixing a messed up deal. That's what we do. So this is the great story, and it makes good sense now. This is Luke 2, verse 1. The time the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. These taxes have been around forever. So this was the first census taken. When Quirinius was governor of Syria. Oh, Syria's still in the news, is it not? So this is back in Syria. And they returned to their ancestral towns to register for the census. You had to go back where you were born. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there to the village from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, people ought to read the Bible. It's just real fascinating. His fiance, who was obviously pregnant. Now, you know, I've ridden donkeys before. You know, it's one thing to ride a donkey. That thing, it's like a pogo stick that's just gone nuts. Can you imagine being 9 months pregnant, sitting on the back of a donkey, not going down the interstate, but bouncing through the desert? Like, this was not a good trip. This was just, oh my goodness, here we go. Put that in the movie. That would be good. And so they come down to the town and said, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son, wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Now, people say, well, they were poor. They couldn't afford it. No, he's trying to get a room at the Holiday Inn, the Hampton, you know, the Hilton, what he got. Everybody's here to pay taxes. They've been a law. The town has filled up. Every hotel's full. You got no rooms? Man, I got a pregnant woman to have. We got no. I've got a stable out back. You can use that. Great. You go to the stable, you know. You ever seen a manger? I've seen mangers. That's where cows eat. Hey, you ever seen a cow eat? A slobber. Big hunks of slobber coming out of the mouth. And so that's why every where a cow eats, it's shiny like somebody painted it with shellac. Why is that trough so shiny? It's dried cow slobber. And so a manger is full of dried cow slobber. It's real shiny. It's not shellac. It's dried cow slobber. So Joseph has to find some fresh hay to put in where the dried cow slobber is, because that's where the creator of the universe, the Son of God, is going to be laid. So where's the Pampers or whatever? They got no Pampers. They just got strips of cloth wrap that little baby in. I mean, he got no Boy Scout knife. How do you think he cut that cord? I mean, nobody ever thinks about a baby being born in a barn like, what's that smell? It's a barn. That's cow stuff and donkey stuff and goat stuff. That smell, that's a barn. We're going to have a baby in a barn. We're going to have it push it out, cut the cord, clean it up, wrap some swaddling stuff, and lay it down in this hay. Like, man, where's God at? I thought we were going to have the Son of God. Couldn't we have a little better welcome than this? People really, I don't think, appreciate the Christmas story that God came like one of us. He just did. So right that time, he said there's no lodging, so he's born there in the manger. That night there were shepherds outside of town standing in the fields nearby. Now, the reason they were standing in the fields, because shepherds didn't stay in the field a lot, was it's what's called lambing time, because people always debated, was Jesus born December 25th? Well, no, there's a lot of history behind that. It really doesn't matter when he was born. Most people assume he was born in the spring. Now, it can get cold in Jerusalem. They say Jerusalem and Bethlehem is about the same temperature as Lakeland, Florida. So the coldest it ever got was about the mid-40s, okay? Hardly ever got below freezing. And they're down in the valley toward Bethlehem. They're down there, so it was always a little warmer, like about 50. But they're out in the fields because it's lambing time. And so lambing time means the wolves are showing up. So you stayed 24-hour watch over those lambs. That's why they're out there. What is it? Well, we're about to make money. We're dropping new lambs, going to make more money. We don't want the thief to steal them or eat them or whatever. So they're out there in the fields watching. Said this, then the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared among them. Now you can imagine it's quiet and you're just looking for a wolf and all of a sudden a bright light, boom. What is, well, it's an angel. I think we just saw one this morning, didn't we? Didn't we just see one? They don't see angels. Like, whoa. Said the angel of the Lord appeared among them. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. Then they were terrified, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, or the King James says, fear not. Every time God shows up, the first word he's going to say, fear not, fear not, fear not. I'm good, I'm God, don't be afraid of me. He says, fear not, he said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You're going to find the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth laying in a manger. He's not down to Hampton. He's not in his own baby bed. You won't find another baby anywhere in Bethlehem laying in the cow thing except this one. That's a sign. He's the only one laying in the cow thing down there. That's him. Whoa, it's like, that's awesome. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, we got to go to Bethlehem, boys. We got to go check this thing out, my goodness. Because everybody, listen, they had been looking for a Messiah for years. They, man, where's he at? Where's he at? We prophesied it in Isaiah, Jeremiah, where's he coming? He's coming, he's coming. Where? Man, the Romans here were being beaten, taxed. Where? And said, he's coming. Well, where? All of a sudden, angels. This isn't made up. This isn't a room. Hey, Frank, I think he was born. No, man, this is a host of other. He's here, boys, down here in the manger. Like, whoa. We're going to go see this. Man, get the iPhone out. We're going to take some pictures. We got to check this thing out. And so you just imagine the excitement in the heart. And so we leave the sheep. That's their money. That's their, why? Man, God's been born. God's been born. Man, he's here. Let's go see him. So they hurried to the village, found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard, for all they had seen. It was just like the angel had told them. That's the Christmas story. God came to earth. Of course, you go through, and what's great, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you got for 30 years of Jesus' life, nothing much happened. You know, all of a sudden the baby's been born. Herod gets demon-possessed, you know, we jump to the wise men, and there were more than three. There was a caravan of them. Next thing you know, there's a star in the sky. Wise men didn't come to the manger. They already had a house in town. You know, weeks go by, months go by. All of a sudden, the wise men show up. What are you doing? We've been following the star. We've heard prophetically in our own nations, the Savior, the King of the earth, has been born. So they come in to tell Herod, hey, what are you doing here? Well, we're coming to see the King of the earth has been born. Herod said, well, I'm the king. No, the king. He's been born. Really? Well, you need to go find him. And when you find him, you come back and tell me that I'm not going to worship him. He don't want to worship me. He wants to kill him dead. And so the wise men go and they knock, and sure enough, here he is in the house. You know the thing they did. They bowed down to worship. Who is this? This is God. He's been born on earth to save us. They brought the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, and they loaded them up, you know, because Mary and Joseph, they're going to have to hightail it out of the country, because when Herod realized the wise men did not come back and tell him, they took the shortcut out of the country, Herod realizes he's been snookered. So he hires a soldier, sends him into Bethlehem. He kills every baby boy 2 years of age and younger. Now, they don't put that in a Christmas movie. It just doesn't set well. So what is it? Well, the devil showed up. God's been born. I got to kill him before he grows up. They go into Bethlehem, they take boys out of every home that's 2 years old or younger, and they kill them in the streets. It was a horrible, man. So the people in Ramah were crying. So the angel leads Mary and Joseph to Egypt. Herod finally dies. They come back. They go to work. Joseph's going back to the business. What are you going to do? Well, he's the carpenter. He's doing his stuff. Now they have their own babies, so they're having other children. So Jesus was a stepchild. People ask all the time, you ever teach on blended families or step-parenting? I said, no. Now, I do now, but no, for years, no. Well, don't you think it's important? I said, no. Well, you know, there's a lot of blended families and step families. I know today in America there are more blended families than core families. Well, don't you think you ought to teach? I said, no, I don't see any reason to. I said, every family in the Bible was blended that I ever read. Abraham's family was blended. Isaac's family was blended. Jacob's family was blended. David's family was blended. Solomon's family was blended. And Jesus' family was blended. Don't you know those boys sit around the breakfast table looking at Jesus? Yeah, we don't know who your daddy is. Because I guarantee we've heard the goofy stories from Mom, but he's not our daddy. And Jesus was the stepchild. We don't know who your daddy is or where you came from, Mama. That's just a goofy story, I'll tell you that right now. And so Jesus grows up. What are you? I'm a stepchild. I'm a stepchild. Where's your daddy at? Well, my actually stepfather, Joseph, he's died. And so Jesus, because he's the oldest son, even though he's the stepson, takes over the family business. So all the brothers and sisters of Mary work for Jesus. It wasn't a little shop. It's a big shop. Man, everybody in town bought furniture from him. You got a chair? Jesus made it. You got a table? Jesus made it. You got a door frame? Jesus made it. You got an ox shed? Jesus built it. He was the local Home Depot man. He's what's happening in town. Everybody knew Jesus. When he starts his ministry, they kept referring, well, that's the carpenter. That's the carpenter's son. There were no miracles for 30 years. Jesus is a normal kid. Didn't make his bed, you know, dirty when he comes in from playing outside, fighting with his brothers. He's a normal kid. Until one day, all of a sudden, they come down to find him at the shop, and Jesus is gone. And they come tell Mary, Mom, Jesus is not down at the shop. People need the furniture. They're trying to get their stuff, and he's not there. Well, where's he at? What do you mean he's not there? Well, he's in town, and there's just weird stuff going on. Eyeballs are popping into blind men's head. Hands are growing out. I mean, dead people are getting up out of the coffins. He's stirring up trouble. They're going to kick us out of church if we don't go get him. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but you can read it in Luke. So Jesus has gone out. So he's in there, and he's doing stuff, and all of a sudden, Jesus goes down to the river. He hears about this crazy camel hair, bug-eating Baptist guy. And he walks up, and John the Baptist, who's his cousin, Jesus said the greatest man ever born to a woman was John the Baptist, because he was first. So Jesus comes walking down with a multitude of people. There's no MTV. There's no, you know, Disney World. Where are you going? Let's go watch the crazy bug hair, bug-eating guy out here ducking people in the water. And the Bible says John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so Jesus walks up. He said, I need to be baptized. I got to do this right, just like any other human. So John the Baptist dunks him under the water. When Jesus came out of the water, as a 30-year-old man, heaven opened up. God stuck his hand out of heaven. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And immediately the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, leads the second member of the Godhead, Jesus, into the wilderness to square off against the devil. Why? Because the devil's been looking for Jesus since the Garden of Eden. Because God showed up when Adam and Eve sinned, and he told him, one day I will come in the flesh, and I will take this back. So immediately, the devil begins to kill people. In the beginning, you can read, in the beginning, people lived to be 900 years old, then 700 years old, then 500 years old, then 300 years old. And people, well, the ozone. Not the ozone, the devil. He's a murderer, a thief, a liar. He hates humans. He doesn't know that the next human may be God. Kill him before he grows up. He's a murderer. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost leads Jesus in the wilderness, and he's out there on a 40-day fast. Now the devil heard. God stuck his hand out of heaven not to tell humans. He's telling the devil, hey, big boy, you've been looking for me? Bring it on. Here we are. Because the Bible said it was a mystery. Jesus' birth had been hidden. 1 Corinthians 9. Nobody knew. The devil didn't know. I couldn't find him. Why? It's a mystery. He hid it until the time's revealed. So all of a sudden, the devil has been kicked out of heaven, cast down to the earth, you know. He said, okay, here we are, big boy. Bring it on. You've been looking. Come on out here. And so the devil goes out in the wilderness. And he's looking at Jesus. So he's out there just staring at him. What did you realize? I don't look like the Son of God I used to serve, because Lucifer served Christ in heaven. Gabriel served the Holy Ghost. Michael served the Father, the three archangels. Well, this is a fallen archangel. He's looking at him. I don't look like him. So he's out there looking, so he thinks, So he watches, and he realizes he's fasting. Well, there's only three fasts. There's a 3-day fast, 7-day fast, 40-day fast. The devil doesn't bother Jesus. He's just looking at him. On the 8th day, he knows he's going for the 40-day fast. The devil doesn't show up until the 40-day fast is almost ended. And he asks him, are you the Son of God? And that's where Jesus hits the devil. Three, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. So he said, how do you whip the devil? With the word of God. The reason Jesus came to be born is to save mankind. He's gone back to heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father praying for us right now, but he's left us his word. Christmas is not just about Jesus being born, about the fact he came, he died for us, God raised him from the dead, he went back to heaven. He's praying for me right now, but he's left me how to live a life. That's why the Bible says we meditate in the Word day and night, we'll prosper and have good success. That's the Christmas gift. It never goes away. It's 365 days a year. It's just not once a year. Merry Christmas to all of us, because God has come to save mankind. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word that sets us free and keeps us free. Lord, if we're blinded in any area, take that blindness from our mind and lighten the eyes of understanding. Thank you, Father, for showing us who we are and what we're called to do. In Jesus' name, amen.